Today's podcast is sponsored by our friends at Worthy.com. Regular listeners will recognize Worthy from our episode 121, With This Ring, I Move On, where we interviewed our friend Judy Herbst.
Although your engagement ring may have once been loved, it usually sits unworn after divorce. Now you can think of it as an asset, something you can monetize and use that money to invest in yourself and your future.
Sell your ring the smart way on Worthy's online auction platform. They handle every facet of your sale in an entirely safe and secure manner.
And it's important to know that although Worthy gives you a recommendation on price, you alone set the amount you are willing to take for your ring.
Let Worthy help you get the best possible deal for the jewelry you've outgrown and embrace a fresh start. Go to their website, Worthy.com, to find out more.
That's Worthy.com, and tell them Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce Podcast sent you.
Coming today on Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce Podcast.
The good news, and this is the good news. This is the optimistic view, which is that your life's not over. None of our lives are over, literally until they pull the sheet over our faces. And to sentence ourselves to what will be a very, very long prison sentence in unhappiness is not only silly, it's completely unnecessary.
Welcome to Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce Podcast with Rebecca Zung and Susan Guthrie.
This is the place to hear other people's stories, to learn from the top experts in every related field, to also have some fun, laugh, and hang with two divorce attorney girlfriends who are also top family law litigators.
Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve family law matters peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert Scott Picard at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free-meditation.
And now we invite you to listen to today's show.
It's going to inspire you to transform and break free. Welcome to today's podcast. Our topic today is a little unconventional, at least it sounds unconventional. F it. Get a divorce. The Guide for Optimists with best-selling author Stephen Kane. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. So Stephen Kane is a Boston-based author, entrepreneur, investor, and a divorced dad of two. He authored F It, Get a Divorce, The Guide for Optimists, and he's the founder and CEO of GetHappy.life. I love the name of your website, which is a platform for modern relationships. Steve penned his book and founded Get Happy Life to provide a community and resources for people who find themselves in unhappy relationships, something Rebecca and I certainly know as divorce attorneys. And the website also is, you know, for people who are contemplating a new beginning. Steve's currently a managing partner and co-founder at Game Theory Group and sits on the boards of newpolitics.org, Science on Screen, and the Narrative Foundation. He's going to be sharing with us some insights into what might be going on when you're thinking, F it, I'm just going to get a divorce. So thank you so much for joining us today, Steve.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me on.
And thanks for me as well. We get quite a lot of requests for people to be guests on our show. So, several daily. So I got the request from your PR person, and it actually struck Susan too, because she immediately forwarded it to me and said, this guy sounds good. What do you think? So, so we both right away went, yeah, this sounds interesting. Part of it is the unconventional way that you're looking at things and the unconventional approach that you've had, and also that you're a guy. You know, a lot of times you see women writing these books about, you know, anything that has to do with feelings or emotion, but you don't often see guys talking about it. And I really like the perspective that you bring to divorce. So, this was not your day job being an author, or this is your first book, right? And so what was the inspiration for this book? Can you take us through your personal journey?
Sure. I'd be happy to. You know, I mean, not surprisingly, maybe my divorce was the impetus for me, at least starting to think about a project like this. And, you know, I'm happy to report that on balance, my marriage was an excellent experience, really a good and loving family experience, two great kids and, you know, 20 odd years together. As so many relationships do, it had kind of hit its expiration date, basically. And it wasn't a love affair anymore. And it wasn't particularly romantic or emotionally fulfilling. By the way, I'm not saying anything that I wouldn't say if my ex-wife was sitting here next to me, nor am I saying anything that she wouldn't say herself. And we had been in marriage counseling and kind of knew it was drawing to a close. And we made what in retrospect was an incredibly terrible decision. We stayed together. We felt pressured to stay together. We felt pressure about the kids, about, you know, our place in the community, that we felt we were afraid of the stigma. We were afraid of people judging us. You know, we kind of thought that, like that old kind of silly, almost like a work ethic kind of a thought, like, you know, I'm not a quitter. I don't give up. And the act of staying together, really turned into a pressure cooker. And we ended up having a fairly unpleasant end to what, you know, like I just said, was a very positive life experience, our marriage and our family, and an unnecessarily unpleasant end. And, you know, in the course of going through the divorce and the whole kind of legal process, the emotional process, the logistical process, I spoke to an awful lot of other people kind of seeking solace and guidance from others and just sharing my experience and just kind of kibitzing the way we do with other people. And I did, you know, discovered that an awful lot of people were having a very similar experience, which is that they, even in a world where they had a terrific marriage, that the terrificness was over, but the marriage wasn't over, and they were feeling trapped and they were feeling a lot of pressure and they felt a lot of stigma. They felt a lot of almost, you know, it sounds crazy, but a lot of people actually feel pressure to fight. They don't really understand that there's like a positive way to conclude a positive, what on balance may have been a positive marriage or even a bad marriage. And so they felt like, well, you know, I'm going to stay in the marriage, not because I want to, not because it's fulfilling for me, but because I don't want to fight. And divorce is a fight, right? And so I kind of collected my thoughts and collected my experiences from other people and started thinking out loud. And a bunch of people encouraged me to write my thoughts down, maybe as a blog post or something. And the blog post turned out to be, you know, 200 pages in paperback.
So that's a long blog post.
It would have been a healthy blog. Yeah.
Well, and in looking, I went on Amazon and looked at the book listing, and I was reading, you have some wonderful comments from people who have read the book. And I think, you know, in the title of the book on Amazon, it actually says it's a book for the divorce curious, which I think is a great phrase. You've heard, you know, bi curious, there are all sorts of different kinds of curious, but I'd never heard divorce curious. So I loved your use of that. But, you know, when I first read about the book, I was thinking it was along the lines of talking to people about that question of should they stay in the marriage, should they not? We just recently actually had Should I Stay or Should I Go with Kate Anthony, which has been a very popular episode. But What I catch that you're talking about is really what you were just saying there, is that, you know, you can acknowledge that it was a wonderful relationship, but that it's hit its, you know, expiration date, as you said, or its sell-by date, and that instead of making the divorce the worst part of the relationship, you can get through the divorce process and move forward, you know, in a more positive way, that it, as you say, for optimists. So can you tell us why the book's for optimists?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, there's good news for all of us, right? Which is, we live in the modern world and we live in the modern era. And, you know, with a little bit, I mean, it's a little bit of luck, not that much luck. We're all going to live to be 80 or 90, heaven forbid, maybe even 100. We're all going to be pretty healthy until the end. We're all going to be pretty mentally and physically active until the end. And so if you're 40 or 50 or 60, I mean, pick whatever age number you want, and you're unhappy, you should move on. I mean, the good news, and this is the good news. This is the optimistic view, which is that your life's not over. None of our lives are over, literally, until they pull the sheet over our faces. And to sentence ourselves to what will be a very, very long prison sentence in unhappiness is not only silly, it's completely unnecessary. And furthermore, you know, not only is that just kind of a comment on the practical reality that we live in an era of legal divorce, and in vast majority of cases of anybody hearing this podcast, there, we live in a place and a time of no fault divorce. You don't have to peek through keyholes anymore to get a divorce. But it can be done in an amicable fashion. If the parties involved, or even one of the parties involved, wants to view it as an opportunity to be amicable. And the way I, you know, kind of like to describe this to people is, you know, in a world where you imagine, if you're, you know, kind of visualizing yourself post-marriage, you're now divorced and you're on your own, and there's all sorts of like scary things about that. There's all sorts of practical considerations about that. But hopefully the number one thought in your mind is, I'm going to be happier, or I'm at least going to have the time and the space to work at being happier again. And part of being happier, or attempting to be happier, is going to be to put all that horrible junk in the past and just put it in the drawer. And, you know, whatever, we're all a bundle and a collection of our memories and our emotions, but we're going to move on, and we're going to start a new chapter, and we're going to try and do things in a way that, you know, is more gratifying, more, you know, rewarding, whatever. Well, so jump to that time now. Like, you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait for X years for some kind of marriage hangover to wear off. You can will the hangover away today and just enter the process of divorce and restarting your life in a mellow fashion. It does not have to be a war. And in fact, it shouldn't be a war. I mean, you're really hurting yourself, and you're probably hurting a lot of people that are very special and important to you, your kids, perhaps. And so, I mean, for me, that's the optimistic view. You can start over. It doesn't have to be a war.
Yeah, I actually had represented a guy who was 91, and he was divorcing his wife, who was also 91. And he had a 91-year-old girlfriend, and they were all living in an assisted living facility together. And it was a little uncomfortable, I have to say, because, you know, they were all there together. But he, you know, decided he still was alive. And that was a really big eye-opener for me, because I thought, 91, why would you bother? But in his mind, you know, I'm still alive. I want to be happy.
Yeah, it's not exactly a secret, but there's a huge explosion of sexually transmitted diseases at retirement communities all across America. And I am so happy to know that.
I know. It's still going. It's still functioning down there, yeah. Right? So could you tell us, you know, you have this book, F It, Get a Divorce, The Guide for Optimists. Tell us, what are some of the main ideas in the book, the main takeaways?
Okay. I mean, I guess I would, one of the main takeaways from, you know, beyond what I just said about, like, you have plenty of opportunity to start again. You should start again if you can. No need to, like, you know, leave a pile of smoking rubble behind you. then the book hopefully contains a lot of kind of what I hope are practical exercises and thoughts for people who are, as Susan said a minute ago, divorce curious. So if you're divorce curious, you're probably wondering, well, you know, what's my life going to be like financially as a divorced person? What's my life going to be like as a practical matter? You know, where am I going to live? Do I have children who need to go to school? How's that going to work? How's co-parenting going to work? How's custody going to work? Oh my God, do I need a lawyer? Oh my God, do I feel up for dealing with lawyers? Oh my God, am I scared of lawyers? Oh my God, do I know how to talk to a lawyer? Oh my God, what's a lawyer going to cost? And so, you know, any, you know, as you mentioned earlier, this is not my day job. My day job is being an entrepreneur. And one of my favorite, you know, entrepreneur rules is plan the work, work the plan. Plan the work, work the plan. And so it's kind of an attempt to allow people to think about their divorce and their life immediately following divorce as something where they can plan the work and work the plan and plan the work and work the plan. And that's not just a logistical notion. I would, you know, submit it's an emotional motion too, because if you kind of think ahead of time about some of the complicated emotional moments that are inevitably going to come up in any divorce, then preparation, it's not going to make it feel less painful. It's not going to make it less difficult, but it'll make it a little less scary, perhaps, a little less like looking into a black hole because, right? I mean, the perfect example that I talk a lot about in the book is, you know, okay, you know, when are you going to actually say the words to your spouse, like that I want a divorce, and where are you going to be, and who else is going to be there, if anybody, and if there are kids, where are they going to be, and what are you going to do if your spouse like has a complete nervous breakdown, and what are you going to do if your spouse breaks into a huge grin and jumps up on the kitchen counter and starts dancing a jig, and what are you going to do if your spouse has absolutely no response at all and becomes, you know, Mount Rushmore, and you have no idea what they're thinking because they refuse to kind of give you any kind of purchase on their emotions. But in any case, if you've thought about these possibilities and you've designed a moment that you think is appropriate for when you're going to say it and how you're going to say it, you're simply going to have an easier time of saying it. So I hope the book actually has that helpful purpose for people.
I have to say, even though you didn't start out as an author or a writer, you paint very visual pictures with your words. So you ended up in a good place as an author. You know, so I love the dancing a jig on the counter. I don't know that I've ever heard from a client that that's been the response to that, the I want a divorce statement.
Or the Mount Rushmore response. That's a good one, too.
That one I've heard. But not maybe not so
disparate. The dancing of the jig, you just see it in their eyes, even though they're restraining their body and they're holding still, but you see in their eyes like, oh my God, you just made me the happiest person. And that should be a good thing, but like, my God, your heart's probably going to like jump into your throat. Like, how dare he or she feel so good about the fact that I just told them I want a divorce.
We're going to take a quick break now to talk about our newest sponsor, Hello Divorce. Divorce is hard enough on its own. You're thrown into the legal system. You have no idea what you're doing. Hello Divorce understands that, and they offer an affordable, convenient online option for Californians. Easy form preparation, instant access to legal information, loads of articles, affordable, convenient, and low-stress divorce.
One of the things I love the most about Hello Divorce is the sheer number of options that it gives you. When you sign up for your free account, you get access to their curated library of tools and resources, and you also get a 15-minute free personalized divorce strategy session. They have a do-it-yourself option for divorce, but they also have an option that gives you your own legal document assistant who will handle your entire divorce start to finish for you. You can even hire the a la carte services of an attorney just to make sure you're on track. Without having to pay an expensive retainer, you can purchase increments of time in as little as 30 minutes. So find out more at HelloDivorce.com and be sure to let them know you heard about it at Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast.
Coming up, more from Rebecca and Susan on F It, Get a Divorce, the Guide for Optimists, with best-selling author Stephen Kane.
Only half in jest, I like to say that till death do us part is probably the stupidest oath any human being has ever said, or at least any human being has ever said in the last 50 or 60 years.
Hey, in fairness, what I always say is when whoever made that up, people only live till 30.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That is literally true.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear Rebecca and Susan discuss more topics on divorce in depth, including how to attract money using mind power with the attract money guru, James Goy.
Mind power, not maybe in those words, but it has been taught for thousands of years in all of the great religions and spiritual movements, teachers, sages. But basically the concept is that our minds affect our environment.
And now we return to today's show.
What we see all the time, and it goes to, I think, something that you've been talking about here, is we hear all the time where someone wants a divorce and the other person says, well, you can't back out of our agreement. You agreed, you know, that you're going to love me till death do us part. We are going to be together forever. And now you're bugging out on our contract. I hear that all the time. Or he broke the promise, and why shouldn't I then get everything? Or she's the one who's walking out on the relationship. And I think your book, turns that around. That whole concept of till death do us part, you have some thoughts on. And I was wondering if you could share those with our listeners.
You know, only half in jest, I like to say that till death do us part is probably the stupidest oath any human being has ever said, or at least any human being has ever said in the last 50 or 60 years.
Hey, in fairness, what I always say is when whoever made that up, people only live till 30.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I mean, that is literally true. And I like to illustrate that to people by reminding them, you know, our Social Security benefits here in the United States kick in at the age of 62. Well, why? Why that number? Why not some other age? Well, I think it was in 1933 when the Roosevelt administration created Social Security, they set that age at 62 because that was the median lifespan of a man. And so they picked an age where they thought they were basically not going to have to pay anybody.
Now they're paying 30 plus years of it. So
and now we have a huge crisis around that. But, you know, congratulations, you know, at age 62, you know, you've still got half a dozen, maybe more chapters to go.
Yeah, so you've talked about this contract idea, which I thought was sort of funny. I mean, in jest, but I actually thought it was kind of funny, like having an 8-year contract or something. And you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I did. I put that in the book. It's as a thought experiment. And, you know, but on the other hand, I'm kind of like, I feel like you do, which is like, well, maybe what would the world actually be like? Maybe this could work. And it's as follows. Imagine that if instead of saying till death do us part, we entered into a marriage contract, which marriage every bit as serious and deep and loving and important and special as it is today, but with instead of till death do us part, with a 8-year term, to pick a number, 10-year, you use whatever number, but let's use 8. And at the end of 8 years, the marriage is automatically dissolved unless both parties renew. Okay. And so nobody has to go through any kind of a trauma of divorce or breaking up or, you know, kind of the, you know, intense drama and emotional vulnerability of daring to broach the subject. It's just on the table. And everybody knows that there has to be some kind of discussion regularly every 8 years about whether we want to continue in this very serious, very legally obligating relationship.
Yeah.
Yep. And that another condition, in order for this whole thing to work, it would have to have some kind of a series of preconditions about money and children and property and this and that. And so that in a world where the parties, one or both parties, don't want to renew, there's no horrible mess that needs to be, you know, no challenging knot that needs to be untied because the conditions were stated going in. So, for example, custody of the children is always considered to be 50-50 unless one party can prove or in some kind of, you know, civil claim, you know, some kind of legal process prove that the other party is incapable or untrustworthy or something of being a parent, or where the parties agree that 50-50, both parties agree that 50-50 doesn't make sense. So there's this default notion of 50-50. And then another one would be that the parties, all property or wealth accumulated during the term of the contract is always 50-50. No matter how it is arrived at or how it's brought in, who earned it or somebody inherited it or something like that, unless it's carved out at the beginning.
And so, well, so attached to the renewable contract would be a prenup, basically.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah. Or the law in California, you know.
Yes. Or the law in California. That's probably the way I was thinking more about it, which is that the law specifies what you're actually agreeing to if you agree to this marriage contract.
Yeah, I mean, it could be the law in any state that you're sitting in or whatever. But I think it's an interesting idea. Obviously, I'm going to have to just say, as the lawyer, you know, one of the lawyers on this show, that you can't pre-contract any kind of parenting plan around children. Because the court always has the final authority to determine what's in the best interests of children. But other than that, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
You know, can I just jump in one quick second? Because I completely agree with what you just said, and that's the way it should be, frankly. When I was, you know, using the word custody, I was talking more like the abstract sense of custody, that no one, that the parties have to take the best interests of the children at heart to determine what I guess I would call a co-parenting plan, but that nobody's rights as a parent are going to be damaged or limited unless there's some very, very serious reason to do so.
Yeah, sort of it really sounds like a practical approach to divorce, which we don't see actually, because the one thing that gets so caught up in divorce, and we've had so many shows on this issue in different permutations, but you know, people going through divorce are so caught up in their negative emotions at the time. They're not focused on what you are talking about wanting happiness in their life down the road or seeing it there. They're seeing the black void of fear and anger and upset or hurt or betrayal or, you know, anger over the ending of the relationship, the non till death do us part. So it's an interesting concept, but I heard you say earlier that your divorce was not an easy one.
Yeah, that's right. And that's, you know, and that's, you know, whatever. I mean, we gain the most wisdom from falling down and making mistakes and getting back up. And, you know, I certainly wish that my ex and I had, you know, the kind of calm, you know, reasonable outlook about the whole thing when we really needed it, but we didn't. And we ended up having a fairly acrimonious breakup, which in retrospect, and again, I'm not saying anything that I wouldn't say if she was here and that I think she would agree with. And by the way, she's read my book, and I offered her the manuscript and said, if there's anything about this that you find objectionable, I won't go forward with it. And she blessed it. But, you know, it's even more crazy in retrospect, because like, we're friends again. Like, we started out as friends, we became lovers, we became spouses. Now we're back to being friends again. And whatever that acrimony was, and it was awful, and it was tough, and it lasted a good year. It's kind of like dissipated, like, you know, mist in the sunlight, and and we're back to being friends. And so it even feels even more silly now, given that the acrimony served no lingering or long lasting purpose. It was really just the pent up emotion kind of bursting out, And, you know, kind of like, you know, a little bit turbocharged by, you know, please accept this in the love with which it's offered, but a little turbocharged by some attorneys who certainly did nothing to damp it down, put it that way. And then it played itself out and we got the divorce. And honestly, we went back to being friends very quickly. And that's kind of another thing I try to message strongly in the book, which is, you know, if we all think about our life experiences, certainly there are hurts and there are wounds and there are experiences which we carry with us our entire lives. And maybe we scar over successfully, even if we don't heal 100%. But with that caveat, I think the vast majority of us move on from these things in some form or another and go on with our lives. And in many cases, kind of remember selectively. So, you know, I had this job, it ended poorly. I left in a huff. I felt really poorly treated. But, you know, now 3 years later, what do I remember? I remember the good times. I remember my friends, the coworkers. I remember, you know, some of the good things I learned professionally. And the bad stuff is just kind of like, it's not gone from my mind, but it's a very minor brain cell in my head. And, you know, most people will experience that, I believe. Call me an optimist. But I believe most of us will feel that way about our marriages given a certain amount of time. And so we can just go there now if you have the will to do so. And I certainly wish that my wife and I had done that. We didn't. So maybe
I like the way you had referred to it as a pressure cooker because, you know, I always say, you know, to people, why do you want to be with someone who doesn't want to be with you? And it's interesting that you guys had decided it wasn't working, but just decided to stay together anyway. And it seems to me like maybe there was some deep resentment there, like, I'm stuck in this thing and I don't want to be here. And, you know, I don't want to be here and I don't want to be here either. And, you know, and so it maybe made it worse in some ways.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think that was a huge factor. I think in a setting like that, you know, time slows down to a crawl and small things get magnified and it's, you know, that proverbial snowball rolling downhill. But I think you're absolutely right. That's, if not the entire origin of it, it's certainly the majority of the origin of it, which is just a resentment. Even though I did this willingly, I raised my hand and said, yeah, I'm in. I started resenting it, me, her, the situation. And then, of course, you know, none of us look in the mirror and say, you're a bad person. And so, therefore, she had to be the bad person. And it just kind of like gets worse and worse.
Yeah, it's, you know, we see people all the time who, in retrospect, will say my divorce was the best thing that ever happened to me. But they at the time when Rebecca and I were their counsel, you know, as we always are saying, we have seen, good people do the craziest, worst things and just act in the craziest way. So I think, you know, the most helpful little tidbit that I would hope people are hearing from this is even you yourself didn't have the divorce experience that you're actually advocating in your book. But if you had had the benefit of your book when you were getting divorced, do you think you could have had a different experience?
That's why I wrote it. That's why I started working on it. That's, you know, I felt, you know, kind of, you know, hurt and frankly foolish. And so I wanted to create a resource that maybe could save somebody else from that unfortunate experience and those feelings.
Yeah. And you also talk about mindfulness and forgiveness, which I like because we actually talk about mindfulness in some of the work that we do, too. I think that's really important. You are the founder and CEO of GetHappy.life. Tell us more about that. You said it's a platform for modern relationships.
Yeah. This is right now, it's still in the aspirational category. It's not a reality. But like I said, I'm an entrepreneur and, you know, I occasionally get paid to, you know, pursue foolish dreams. And this particular foolish dream I think the world could use a platform for hearing new thinkers, new voices, new talents, new people who are trying to help other people basically have happier lives. Whatever form that happiness, you know, may be. But I think, you know, one of the other, big blessings of modernity, of this modern age that we all live in, is for heaven's sakes, we actually have the time to sit around and think about being happy. And if you look at human history, the vast majority of human beings had no time for anything like that. They were way too busy trying not to get killed by the tiger or to find enough food to eat or to give birth to a child that doesn't die in the process and you don't die in the process. Or, you know, survival was kind of all that human beings had for the longest time. And now we in the modern world actually have the chance to try to do things like be fulfilled, be happy, be spiritual, develop ourselves to be better beings, to be better members of the community, better, you know, caretakers of the planet. And so if I could, I'd like to turn gethappy.life into a publisher. I kind of think of it as almost like Motown. If you look at what Berry Gordy did and, you know, created this platform for this unbelievable roster of talented people to be discovered by the world. That's what I would aspire to get happy. Not exclusively about relationships, although I do think any attempt to find new thinkers about, you know, looking for fulfillment or happiness is bound to have an awful lot of content about having successful relationships. But heck, could be, you know, a cookbook also, because I think there's a lot of happiness in food.
There is a lot of happiness in food. So, well, this conversation has been so helpful and so interesting. I've enjoyed it a great deal. We want to make sure our listeners can find you, find the book. So can you give us some information on that, please?
Thank you. I'd love to. So the easiest thing to do is go to my website, which is gethappy.life. One word, gethappy.life, L-I-F-E. If you want to, you know, hunt me down on Twitter, it's at Stephen Kane, S-T-E-V-E-N-K-A-N-E. But you can find me at gethappy.life and all my social media stuff is there too. And that's the easiest thing. Please do that.
And your book is available there as well?
Yes, it's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and hopefully easy to find.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your personal story and your wisdom with us. I know it's going to help a lot of people. So thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for the work you guys do. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve your family law matter peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert, Scott Picard, at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation.
Check back next Monday for our next edition of our powerful, inspirational, and educational podcast. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please remember to give us a 5-star rating and let us know what you liked in a review on iTunes.
And remember, you're just one step away from your new life.